Hey, if you're growing your garden for your family, you would try and stick to the organic side. Mr. Harper was talking about his early girl tomato there. Well, that's from our garden, and we keep it bug and insect free by using Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. You mentioned spider mites. That's one of the insects listed that this product will take care of in an organic fashion, as well as beetles, caterpillars, and borers. It comes in a couple different ways, but ours is a spray jug that you hook right up to your hose, plug it in, turn it on, give it a little shot anytime you see something flying or creeping or crawling around your vegetables that you don't want. Takes care of them right away. Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew is a Bonide product that are family made in America. You can find it at your Summer Winds in Mesa and Tucson Savano's Nursery out on South Houghton, as well as the Magic Garden on Pantano. And if you've got a home in the beautiful White Mountains, Christopher's in Lakeside also carries it. That's Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew. You can join the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE-4U. One question before we get to George and Mesa. Lawns. Mm-hmm. Our caller earlier wanted to know about planting a lawn or this and that. What should we be doing with our lawns right now?
Well, it's the one thing this cool weather is doing is messing up the transition from Bermuda to ryegrass, because the ryegrass is just going to adore this weather and hang in there a little longer. So, you know, the normal protocol now, usually about the 1st of May, is to start mowing overseeded lawns shorter, taking that ryegrass down to where you're basically scalping the lawn after a couple, three mowings. That generally burns it up pretty good. Once we get that ryegrass canopy out of the way and it quits shading the underlying Bermuda grass and the roots, the hot weather generally will kind of take care of the rest. It's never as smooth a transition as we'd like, you know, because little pockets of the ryegrass die quicker than others. If you've got shade, it takes a little longer. Sometimes ryegrass in the shade will last all summer. But that's really what we should be doing if we have an overseeded lawn, is mowing it shorter. Don't increase the water. In fact, some people will just even let it. Of course, right now you should turn your sprinkler system off. I don't know when we've ever been able to say that in May, is that, you know, an inch of rain in most places in the valley, you could turn the sprinkler system off for several days at least. But transition the lawns by mowing short. Now, if you had a non-overseeded or just a dormant lawn, this will probably really kick it into gear. It starts greening up. You want to get the lawn food on it. You want to start, if it needs dethatched, you want to dethatch it sometime in mid to late May or early June. Core aerifying is an awesome thing to do if you can, figure out maybe with your neighbors a way to share a good core aerator and get that done. So starting to get those greened up and then start making sure they are getting regular water when it gets warm enough to start watering regularly.
Let's bring George into the conversation, calling from Mesa. Go ahead, George.
Good morning. I just woke up, so excuse my morning voice. But I had a problem in 35 years of living here. For the first time last year, I had a real problem with what's called no-see-ums or midge flies. How do you control that, or what do you do with them? Because I have a desert landscape, and I step out at night, and I get tore up. So I don't want to go through that again.
Well, I was just going to ask if you had grass, but if you don't have grass and you've got, you know, a gravel-type landscape and you've got midges, and you're sure they're not mosquitoes?
You can't see them.
Okay.
But the sting is horrible.
Well, quite frankly, it's probably more of a structural pest control question than an ornamental or a horticultural pest control question. I think you need a home exterminator to come look around and see what you need or can do.
And we'll have Blue Sky Pest Control in studio at 10 o'clock.
There you go.
So we'll cover
no-see-ums. Hang on to that or call back at 10 o'clock and talk to
those
guys.
We'll hear you in your regular voice.
I'm sure they've got some stuff.
Keep his number. We'll call him back at 10 o'clock.
All right. Let's bring Daryl into the conversation. Welcome, sir. How may we help you?
Well, my royal cactus is blooming, and it's got those
the big, nice, moist, white flowers on it. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to figure out if I can take those and open them up and get the seeds out, because I want to plant some of those seeds. And I've got a sheet that kind of shows me how to do it, but it indicates that usually you get those blooms after they've dried and fallen off, but I have some of them that have come off that aren't dry yet. So when should I plant those?
Well, if they haven't dried, you don't have any viable seed in the bloom. So the bloom has to come out, and then, you know, it has to form a fruit and then dry up, and the seed is in that fruit. Okay, it's not in the bloom. So
if I have some of those now, can I do it, or do I need to wait later in the year? Because it seemed like they said it was around July that you should be getting the seeds out of the fruit.
Right. So it takes the natural course of time for that flower to come out, for it to get pollinated, for the fruit then to set and form, and then the fruit basically has to dry up for the seed to be then ready to plant. So, yeah, probably July is about right.
So just set those aside somewhere where the birds and animals won't get to them and let them dry up.
Once you get the fruit on there, you could pick the fruit and then, yeah. Because if you don't, you're right. The white-winged doves will get them for you.
Boy, are they confused. I saw one jumping around on my back patio pool. He was so confused and dazed, I just felt sorry for him.
He didn't know. He was like, I thought I migrated to get out of the rain. Huh?
Usually when you see white wings, you know you're just a day or two away from triple-digit weather. And
right.
I think they're all flying back to the south this weekend.
Yeah.
What garden-wise, I planted a couple melons in the last week.
Melons, cucumbers, eggplant, okra.
I heard okra.
Okra,
ding,
okra,
ding, ding, ding,
now,
ding, ding,
squash, Malabar spinach. A lot of people planting this little plant called Malabar spinach. It gives us a leafy green summertime spinach. We've got this Sicilian zucchini it's a vining zucchini. Cucuz, the Italians call it, which is Italian for squash.
Mm.
But they do really well in the heat. We're getting down to that's about it, you know, five or six things.
I've got some critter I'm trying to identify that's wiping out my starter plants. I had okra about an inch tall.
Okay.
And I came out and they were both gone. But the squash sprouts were still there and the zucchini sprouts were still there. And then a couple days later, I had a bean sprout completely gone.
I'm going to guess birds.
Now, I've got...
Yeah, your goat got loose.
Well, see, that's the thing. If it had been, the planter would have been torn up.
Yeah.
The tomato plants would have been gone. And I've got it completely bird...
Okay.
Bird netted. I took our chain link fence, and I made a ridge over it and draped bird netting.
Well, it could be snails.
Snails?
Mm-hmm.
Get you one of those wildlife cameras.
Yeah.
I don't know if they...
Is it happening at night, you think?
That's a good question. I don't know.
So snails or slugs could be a possibility. Crickets, grasshoppers, they'll do that too on young tender shoots like that.
I water at night when I get home. So I don't check in the morning. So it could have been eaten overnight, but then I don't see it till the next afternoon.
You put a pie tin of beer out there, and that'll attract you'll know then if you've got snails or slugs.
Okay.
And if you want to treat them with something, you can. Diatomaceous
earth. What does the beer do?
It just, there's...
Do you, like, start hearing, like, some noise and a little
party.
Racket?
Yeah. Yeah.
Will they drink it, or do they get in it?
They just crawl in it and die.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Can I use real cheap beer for that?
I would. Well, I would. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't
get some Natty Light.
Yeah, I would. I would not waste a really good beer on.
All right. Let's bring Pam into the conversation at 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you, Pam. Welcome.
Hi. I have a problem with my geraniums. I have green caterpillars on the blossoms,
mm-hmm.
and I don't know what they are and how I can kill them.
And are you here in town?
I'm in Mesa.
In Mesa.
Yeah, in town.
Well, here's the deal. You know, given normal temperatures, your geraniums have about a month to live.
Mm.
So, you know, if you want to treat them, that's fine. And caterpillars and worms are really prevalent on geraniums, and they get right into that bud, and they eat the bud out, and then you get no flower. So dipel dust, D-I-P-E-L, dipel, if you want to dust. Thuricide or BT is the spray version of that. They both work really well. Your Captain Jack's Dead Bug Brew would work well as well on that. So if you want to treat them and get another month or so out of them, that would be the thing. That what's going against you is, as soon as it gets really hot, the geraniums are going to start fading away anyway.
So what would be a good summer flower if you're looking for that, you know?
Yeah, my advice would probably be to go ahead and take advantage of this great weather and start switching out. And then you solve two problems.
You're not planting when it's 100 degrees out.
Exactly. So we can use pentas and angelonias and, of course, vinca, gomphrena, the ornamental sweet potato vine, moss rose. You know, there's a lot of great colorful choices that will go right on now through the summer months. Get them in now, pull those geraniums out, and get some other stuff in there.
And with this strange weather schedule, has that changed what nurseries have available, or is it pretty much same as usual?
No, I mean, everybody had started to, you know, has been switching over anyway. We really don't want to sell a geranium to somebody in April even, knowing it's only got a couple months to go. I mean, that's kind of short-sighted. We switched to summer flowers in March, you know, just because that's, you know, if you're going to start planting stuff, we want it to last a while. So it shouldn't have switched or changed that by, you know, any measure. Now, you will find some of those maybe on sale somewhere or whatever, and some people have summer homes, you know, and that you want to do that and take them up north, that's great. But you certainly don't want to be planting any new geraniums or petunias or things like that in the valley now, for sure.
Well, Patrice has something eating holes in her kale, so let's see if we can help identify that for her. Good morning, ma'am.
Morning.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
My question is, I have an organic veggie garden, and I have kale, and every day my leaves have all holes in. So I'm wondering what it is that's eating them and how I can rectify it.
Well, more than likely, it's some type of caterpillar that they definitely like leafy things like kale and chard and spinach, all the lettuces, and they can be teeny, teeny, tiny and really hard to see or find. And if you want to stay organic, just use, as I mentioned, on the geraniums, the same product, dipel dust, D-I-P-E-L, or you can spray with thuricide or BT, which is the biological control for caterpillars.